Listen to us now, live on the ESPN Chicago app.
This is Chicago's home for sports. ESPN Chicago.
It's Bears Overtime, Bears Weekly Overtime here on ESPN 1000. Tyler Rocky, Shane Rowling. Are you shocked? You're shocked they're right there? It's getting late. I'm fumbling words now.
Oh, don't start slurring, pal. Come on. We fire up.
All right. Let's
review. After hours now.
Bears Weekly Overtime here on ESPN 1000, 100.3 HD2. Don't forget, you can watch the show on Twitch, twitch.tv/ESPN1000Chicago. Also on YouTube, youtube.com, and search ESPN Chicago. And be sure to subscribe to our YouTube page. There you'll get everything, including the Chicago Bears podcast with Pat the Designer. Just put out a new episode today with Courtney Cronin. And also, earlier in the week, had Roschon Johnson, the Bears' fourth-round draft pick running back out of Texas, on the show. So be sure to check all that out on the ESPN Chicago YouTube page. All right, we've held off for 2 hours and 2 minutes before doing this. But here we are. We are playing the win-loss game, and we have not really had a chance to go break down each individual game here as win or loss. But let's fire it up here. All right, so you're opening things up against the Packers. We brought it up. That game of the week, the opening week against your hated rival. This one taking place at Soldier Field, though. What do you have, a win or a loss for your Chicago Bears?
I'm going W, getting off the ground running. I'm not sure if this makes sense entirely, but it's a little reminiscent to me of what we saw a year ago when the Niners come in with Trey Lance making the big start. Everybody talked about it, and we saw it. Now, obviously, the monsoon happened that got things a little off script, but we saw an offense that clearly had not worked out together a ton. Hadn't had the time to gel or get together or really be broken in. I think we're going to see that with Jordan Love. I know he's been up there for 3 years. I know everybody's a little nervous, like Carmen's a little nervous, that this guy's going to come out and it's going to be
swinging
Rodgers all over again.
Where swinging they've had the ball this, around the yard.
Right, where they've had this decade of all-time great quarterback play, and they just follow it up with another kid who sat for that long, and he's great. I think what we're hearing out of Packer camp now is they want to be very patient. They're not putting too much expectation on him. I think it's going to be a slow start. I don't think they're going to have a good year. And I think the Bears walk into this with a huge quarterback advantage. So I'm going to go win week one over the Pack.
I say it's a rough start to the Jordan Love era as well. Give me the Chicago Bears over the Green Bay Packers. All right, 1-0. We're each 1-0 out of the chute here. All right, on the road, down south, the Bears go to take on the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Noon kick on Fox on September 17th. Week two, do the Bears pick up a victory against either Kyle Trask or Baker Mayfield?
Boy, they better. I have a W here in ink. If they lose this game, then we're losing cabin pressure. The Buccaneers should be one of the worst teams in the NFL. When you look at the acquisitions, I mean, obviously they lost Tom Brady. You bring in Baker Mayfield. You're bringing in Chase Edmonds to be your running back. It's a team that's telling you they're rebuilding. And they held on to some key pieces like Tristan Wirfs, but they're not holding on to pieces that are going to help them win games. This is going to be a very bad football team. Bears get a win.
They could be a team. They're in cap hell. Also, don't be surprised if the Bucs are one of those teams that makes a couple surprise cuts after June 1st.
Or do what the Bears did a year ago where you had Robert Quinn and Roquan and you made the decision, we're going to get rid of these guys and eat the money and be in a very painful position, but it's going to pay off a year later.
Yep, I'm with you there. I'm going to take a win as well for the Chicago Bears. So off and running 2-0. All right. Now things get a little more difficult. Let's not try to impress anyone here, all right? Bears at Chiefs. What say you, Shay?
Patrick Mahomes is going to score maybe 4, 5, 6 times. Like, I like what the Bears secondary has been able to do with the defensive backfield. Going on the road to Arrowhead is too tall a task. The Chiefs blow the Bears out, and the 2-0 start is quickly brought back down to reality.
All right, I am with you there as well. Don't got to get cute there on our picks. All right, week 4, you've got the Denver Broncos, noon CBS. Sean Payton is in town. I wonder if he'll come in studio with his old pal Yurko.
Huh? We'll have to see.
Maybe he'll hop on the postgame show with Yurko and Peggy.
I'm a Broncos truther. This is going to be resurgent. They should have been way better last year. It was obvious the Hackett thing was a disaster. I think you bring in Peyton. Now, maybe Russell Wilson's just dead. And if that's the case, then I'll give this a W. But as it stands today, I have a feeling the Broncos bounce back. I'll take an L for the Bears.
I am actually right there with you. I am also on the Broncos bandwagon for this year. I think they actually overachieved based on what we saw last year. We've seen so many great quarterbacks in this league have a bad season and then bounce back with a vengeance. Look at what Brady did his final year in New England and then what he did the next year in Tampa.
Yeah.
We've seen it with Aaron Rodgers as well. There are resurgences at the quarterback position, and when you get the right minds in there, you can work wonders. I know he was never a star in the league, but how about the renaissances we've seen from a Jared Goff as well as a Geno Smith as well? I think you can improve quarterbacks with the right coaching, and I think this is going to be the example that we look at forever with this. I'm actually going to take the L here with the Broncos as well. So we've each got the Bears 2-2 through the first 4 weeks, and I think if you look at it, 2-2 through the first 4 weeks, you take it.
I'm happy with it, yeah.
If
I'm a Bears fan, I'm happy going 2-2 through four.
All right, now we move on to week five at Washington. Short week on the road for the Bears, trying to get revenge for their Thursday night loss last season.
And I think you do get revenge. I think you're a much better team than Washington, who tried it with Carson Wentz. It didn't work out. Now they're in a bit of a quarterback hell. They're hoping Sam Howell's the answer, but really, who knows? I doubt it. I like the Bears to go on the road and beat this Commanders team.
I am going to take the Bears, but I do think this is a game where we will see Washington cover. Because it is that short week, and we do see weird things on Thursday night. But give
It'll
me the
probably be
Bears.
A small field goal-ish spread, I would think.
Yeah.
Maybe a little less than that with the Bears as a favorite, but it is a short favorite for sure.
All right, next up, you've got the Vikings at home for week six here.
10 days to prep. You get the mini bye coming off the Thursday night game against Washington. You come back home. Look, we saw what Ryan Poles and company were able to do, or Ryan Poles. Matt Eberflus and company were able to do a year ago off the mini bye when they decimated Bill Belichick and the Patriots.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to buy into that a little bit. 10 days to prep, coming back home, welcoming Kirk Cousins, who stinks. I'll take the Bears over the Vikings.
And I think the Vikings dip a little bit, too. I'm taking the Vikings
they
as well.
They sucked last year.
Yeah.
They were bad, and they just won some dicey coin flip games. Things came down on the right side. They got good bounces. But when you are a negative point differential team and you win 13 games, you got very lucky. I think they're going to be due for a little bit of unluckiness this year.
Week 7, Raiders at home for the Chicago Bears.
I think it's a win. I don't know what the Raiders are. I know they have Devontae Adams. I know they're bringing in Jimmy Garoppolo. But I don't buy that this team is good. Like, if it was going to be good, shouldn't it have been good last year? And I'm not a Josh McDaniels guy. I never liked him as the offensive coordinator in New England. I don't like him as a head coach. He was terrible when he went to Denver. So far, returns have been very sour in Vegas. So, I don't think highly of the Raiders this season. I think this is a game the Bears can win.
Jimmy G homecoming. I'm going to take the Raiders here in this game. Now, I will say this. One of the main reasons I'm taking the Raiders to win here is, like, it's kind of like when you're filling out an NCAA tournament bracket and you hit a certain point where it's like, all right, this team can't go that far. I have to give them a loss here. That's kind of what I'm doing here. I don't think the Bears are going to start 5-2, so I am going to give them the loss there.
Yeah, I know. I looked at that, and I'm like, 5-2 is brutal, but I got to stick to my guns here.
All right, start of the really tough stretch for this Bears team as they embark on a 4-5 road game stretch here. Starts on Sunday Night Football at the Chargers.
This is going to be a loss. I think it's going to be a thrilling game, very high scoring. Fields and Herbert duke it out, but the Chargers come out on top ultimately.
I will join you on that as well. All right, they stay on the road, this time down to New Orleans to take on the Saints.
I think it's another loss. Courtney told us, if you haven't been there, it's one of the best environments to see a football game in. The fans go nuts. They're bringing in Derek Carr. They're the best team in that division. I think they're actually like a top 15, maybe top 10 team in football. Sneaky. I like what they do down there.
Okay.
Look, I
top
think it's
10, New Orleans Saints. All right.
Now, they got to do some work to get there, but I think by this point in the season, if things are going the way the Saints hope, we'll be talking about them as, you know, a bona fide playoff team. I'll take a loss there for the Bears.
All right. I am going to take a win for them down south on that one. All right. Quick turnaround. You are at home against the Carolina Panthers Thursday night.
Pick with my heart here because you have to win this one. There's an argument that this is the most important game on the schedule because it serves two purposes.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Not only do you have to get the win to get the win, you also have to make sure that draft pick that's coming your way is as high as possible. You beat the Panthers.
I join you on that as well. They beat the Carolina Panthers. Then you head on the road to take on Detroit off of another mini bye.
You do get 10 days to prep, but they're just better than you. And that's where I think this is a loss. I don't know how you get through their offensive line. I don't. If their offensive line is at full health with Decker and Ragnow and Sewell, I don't know how you get through it. I don't know how you stop their offense. They should have Jameson Williams back by then. I don't see how you beat that team in their house.
I'm going to go with a tie.
What
I am
are
picking,
we
I am calling
doing?
My shot.
That is not allowed.
Why is that
Pick
not allowed?
Win or loss.
We can tie in football.
That is not allowed.
I'm picking a tie.
That's like flipping a coin, and you're the guy that's like, it's going to land on its side. Pick win or loss.
Ties happen in football. They're happening at an all-time clip. Ties.
That I think you just committed a. I think you broke a rule. 312-332-3776. Did Tyler break a rule?
Picking a tie. All right, at Minnesota after that on Monday Night Football.
8 days to prep, but again, back-to-back road games. I think it's a loss. And you know what? Live adjustment. Kirk Cousins in primetime. Bears win. That's a Kirk Cousins detonation game waiting to happen. Kirk Cousins in primetime bringing in, that's a win. I don't know what I was thinking. 8 days to prep for the Bears, and you get Kirk under the bright lights on ESPN. W.
I'm going to roll with a loss here. I just, on the road, this is the back end of that stretch. You've got the bye on the horizon right there. You could see a team that's really beat up at this point. Really beat up. After the last game on a 4-5 road stretch, I'm taking the loss there. All right, you hit the bye, and then you get the Lions at home on your turf. What do you have?
They're just better than you. It's a loss. And again, it's as long as they're healthy, their offensive line should be impenetrable. And the defensive line is the weak spot for the Bears. I just think it's a terrible matchup.
All right, I am going to match you there. I also have it as a loss as well. For the Bears. On the road in Cleveland, we don't know the date yet on this one. Could be a Saturday game now that we're in December, but the Bears and the Browns in Cleveland.
I told you I'm a Broncos truther. I'm also a Browns truther. Against my better judgment as an ethical human being, I think this team could be pretty good. I'm going to go L.
You're going L against Cleveland. I'm going to take a win against the Browns. I'm not quite there with... I think there's a genius in Denver on the coaching staff. I don't think there's a genius in Cleveland.
That's fair.
On the coaching staff. All right. Next up, you've got the Cardinals at home. 3:25 Christmas Eve.
That's the worst team in football. I know we said that last year about Houston, and it didn't end up being that way. So it kind of did.
Yeah.
There's no way. Like, even if Kyler Murray is healthy and medically cleared to play, the Cardinals would be insane to put him on the field. I don't see any way that they're trying to win games at that point. I think that's a win.
I think Kyler or not, that is a win for the Chicago Bears.
Sneaky, too, about the Cardinals, because of the trade that they made, they own Houston's pick. They could theoretically pick 1 and 2 in the draft.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. That is certainly in the cards there as well. All right. Last two games here. New Year's Eve, Falcons at home.
I think it's a win. Again, I think it's kind of the same thing where the Falcons are, I don't expect them to be good. Huge question mark at quarterback. I know they overachieved a little bit last year, but the roster still isn't great. You're bringing them up from Atlanta. They're a dome team. You're going to have them play outdoors. It'll probably be 5 degrees. Bears win.
All right. I also find that to be a Bears win as well. And then we wrap things up at Green Bay. Let's also guess this, too. Will this be flexed into Sunday night? What time slot will this game be?
What record do I have the Bears at right now? 9-7. They are playing for a playoff spot.
10-7's
in. On the final day of the year, 10-7 gets them in. It's at Lambeau. It's Bears-Packers. It's Sunday night. And the Bears win.
I'm going to give the Bears a loss. There. I don't think this Packers team is as bad as people think. When you look around the edges as well, you've got two up-and-coming receivers. You've got some good defensive pieces, a defense that found its way at the end of last season as well. I'm going to take a loss.
Well, it was also a little bit of the offense leading the way for the defense with Rodgers went like God mode towards the end of the year.
He was good, but he wasn't like Rodgers at the end of the year.
There were moments. There were moments.
There certainly were.
I think Green Bay is in for a tough year. I think they get to a point late in the year where, again, they might not be efforting to win all of these games. And that's where I think if you're the Bears, look, 10-7, I feel like I'm nuts. Mm-hmm. And maybe I'm being a little generous with
How's
that Vikings
the over
win.
Right now? But come on, do it.
I might, dude, but like maybe I'm generous giving you the Vikings win just because I think Kirk is atrocious in primetime. But if you lose that, you're still 9-8. That's still a very mm-hmm. successful season to me. This is where we've talked so much about. You hit the bottom of the pool and you jump back up.
Right. And I think a lot of this is contingent on what our beliefs are in Justin Fields. And I think it's surrounding him with other pieces. I look at Justin Fields, and yes, that's a big part of the equation here. But the one thing I've been preaching with this team all offseason long is if you get average in a lot of these surrounding positions, if you just are an average unit there, you will take a significant leap from last year. And the Bears, I think, went out and upgraded to average in a lot of these important spots.
Yeah.
And that's why I have them at 9-7-1.
And upgrade. The tie is ridiculous. 9-7-1, 10-7. We're in the same boat here. We both think that this team could do some things.
All right. When we come back, we will continue to dive into this Bears schedule. We will also get you some road trip advice as well at 9:35. If you want to talk Bears with us, 312-332-3776. If you've got a win-loss for us as well, we want to hear it from you here on ESPN 1000, your new home of the Chicago Bears.
This is Chicago's home for sports, ESPN Chicago. This is Chicago's home for sports, ESPN Chicago.
Listen now in HD on our app and on ESPN 1000.
I put a reminder in my phone, by the way. November 20th, remind Shay that the Bears have just tied.
That's the biggest foul that you've ever committed in a show that we've done together. We're doing a Bears win or lose.
Am I not allowed to make my picks?
We are playing the schedule game and you mix in a tie.
Are we not letting people... There are three true outcomes. Football is a three true outcome game.
That's not true at all.
Win, loss, tie.
You can't mix in a tie. That's a foul. You've got to decide. You have to put your balls on the line and decide, win or lose. Tie is a coward's way out.
How is it? If anything, it's more ambitious.
I see this as a betting opportunity now.
Yeah. Are we betting tie on November 19th?
He can't possibly risk anything. I would be the only person who would have to give anything up.
We're betting.
He's going with such an outlandish result.
You can go on FanDuel and bet on a tie.
It's like plus 10,000 odds.
And guess what? I'll retire and you'll still be here. All right.
Yeah, and I'll buy you a sandwich too.
312-332-3776 if you want to jump on in. Tyler Rocky, Shane Norling with you here on Bears Weekly Overtime as we continue to dissect this Bears schedule that was just released today. We gave you our win losses just a moment ago. And again, if you missed any of this, be sure to check it out on the podcast on the ESPN Chicago app. The Bears win total right now is set at 7.5 on FanDuel. And there's a little bit of juice on the over there. And both you and I have this team going over the 7 wins. 7.5 wins that is currently being set right now across books. And I think that not only are we over, we're over with a little bit of leeway as well, where they can fumble a game that we have projected as a win, and we still see them hitting that over 7.5. But I think this is kind of twofold here. Yes, you want to strive for wins, but it's also about the development of Justin Fields. And I think that we're at a point now where he has been surrounded with enough help, where if Justin Fields, you're not going to see the Bears win games not because of Justin Fields. Justin Fields is going to win this team football games because of the help that he now has around him. So development and victories are going to walk in tandem with the Chicago Bears team in 2023.
And I think the most meaningful addition still is DJ Moore. And I mean, we've seen people bring up, like, Stephon Diggs did a lot for Josh Allen. A.J. Brown did a lot for Jalen Hurts, who already had Devontae Smith, who I think is a freak. And, yeah, the Bills had more talented receivers in place. But I think now that you have DJ Moore, if we end up with a healthy Darnell Mooney and you have Chase Claypool in place, that becomes a pretty decent receiving core. And I think when you look at how a lot of teams have built their ability to win, yes, a lot of these teams have really good defenses. Some of them don't. Some of them have just built off of putting the offense together, becoming vertical, having the ability to do some of those things. And that's what I think the Bears are going to be looking for. It's pretty clear that they've set themselves up through the Darnell Wright pick and through adding DJ Moore to give themselves a fair evaluation of Justin Fields. And if he's the guy who we think he is, why shouldn't they go over the 7.5? Especially when we see the schedule and we just went through it. Now that we have it in our hands and we know what it looks like and we see the flow and how you go through this season, you start to kind of find those wins. And I have a difficult time going through here and finding, what would it be, 9 losses, 10 losses?
Yeah.
I'm not finding 10 losses in this schedule.
Yeah, it's tough for me. And if there is 10 losses on this slate, one of two things happened. Justin got hurt, or Justin's not your quarterback in 2024. Like, one of those two things is true, I think, if you're finding 10 losses on this.
And that's, like, I'm assuming Fields stays healthy. I'm assuming Darnell Wright stays healthy. I'm assuming Darnell Mooney's healthy. I'm like, a lot of assumptions here. There's tons of ifs. And if everything goes wrong and health is an issue and you don't have the depth to make up for it, then sure, we won't see them get to 8 wins. Like, you would need to hit this over. And I don't even think that needs to be the barometer for success. I think if you get to 7, we can say you took the step you needed to take. Now let's get after it. I just think when we go through this schedule, the wins are there for you. And can I flip a few into losses? Like, maybe you don't beat Minnesota twice. Sure. Maybe you don't beat Vegas. Okay. But do I think that you lose all of those games? Last year was interesting because you looked at the middle of the schedule. They played Atlanta. They played New York, the Giants. They played these teams. And it was kind of like they could win all of these games. They could lose all of these games. And they lost all of those games. This year, I look at the schedule, and I just don't see a situation, Tyler, where they're going to lose all of those games. So they're going to win some of them.
Last year, 1-7 in one score games. And I think this is where a lot of Justin's improvement needs to come, is in these one score games. 1-7, let's say for the sake of the exercise, that this upcoming season you play in 8 one-score games again. I think you need to be 5-3. I think you do. When you look at all of the changes that were made around you, not just on offense, but defensively as well, get to 5-3, because you've been given enough help with the way that this offense has been set up. And listen, some of those one-score games may not be one-score games. You look at a couple of the games where you got into shootouts with teams and you just didn't have enough defense. I think the defense is good enough this time around, or at least improved enough this time around, where maybe you're the one protecting the late lead as opposed to the one needing the comeback drive at the end.
Yeah, and I think that's something a lot of people think, is they look at the defense and they see the weakness on the defensive line. And I think the defensive backfield is good. I know people see the weakness on the defensive line with what we've done with the linebacking core. I think the interior of the D-line could be solid. But the thing I think, too, is, like, you can control a lot of that with your offense. And I think now you have an offense that we hope is able to hold on to the football, that we hope is able to take some extended drives. I don't think that this is going to be some quick hitter, crazy, like downfield thing. They're going to try to run the ball. They're going to want to establish that, especially with the left side of the offensive line. Like, this is a team that's going to be able to go on extended drives. This is a team that's going to be able to use Fields in more designed ways. They're probably going to try some more quick passing schemes, get guys open a little faster. If you can hold on to the ball longer, automatically, you give your opponent less chances to score. Your defense isn't on the field for as long. You can't have the number of three and outs that there were last year. Mm-hmm. Like, I think we look at the defense a year ago and go, they were terrible and they didn't improve enough. They're going to be terrible again. I don't think that's necessarily true. Part of the reason why they were awful last year is because this offense went three and out so much.
And you're dog tired when you get back on the field right there as well. I think, too, a lot of people talk about the investment in Fields, all right? Investing in your defense is investing in Justin Fields. It's saying to your quarterback, I don't want you to have to go out there and complete all of these fourth quarter comebacks. And also, so one of the best ways to protect Fields, run the football. Run the football with your running backs. Let them drop back and hand off, because that takes him out of the play. And I think that is another way that you protect your quarterback there. Play with the lead, run the football, play solid defense on the other end. That's another way that Justin Fields will stay healthy.
Yeah, I just think I'm really excited to see what this team's able to do. I know that we've talked about it at length, the defense and the lack of, you know, addition there on the defensive edge. But again, I think this season's all about offense. It's rare that we say that about a Chicago Bears team. Yep. I think this season's all about the quarterback. It's all about finding ways to run without the quarterback. And it's all about opening up the passing game. And if you can do that, I think you can take enough pressure off of the defense that we can be looking at a team that goes over the 7.5.
All right. When we come back, let's line up your calls now. 312-332-3776. Shay and I are going to put our Expedia hats on here, because we're going to go and get you some travel advice for this schedule as well. Some of our favorite locations that the Bears are going to, and what some of the best trips for the Bears upcoming season is going to be. We're with you here at Bears Weekly Overtime on ESPN 1000, your new home for the Chicago Bears. Get in line now, 312-332-3776. Is there a trip that you're looking for? We'll take all your calls when we come back here on ESPN 1000.
This is Chicago's home for sports, ESPN Chicago. If you missed something, get the podcast on the ESPN Chicago app. This is ESPN Chicago, Chicago's home for sports.
Bear schedule is out. And there is lots and lots of intrigue on it. Bears have four primetime games, coupled with a trio of the 3:25 Fox starts, so the game of the week window there on Fox as well. Lots of intriguing matchups on the road, though, for this Bears team. And I know one of the beauties and joys of this time and of this day is the fact that you can start to plan your road trips out. You can see, all right, the Bears go to this stadium on this date. Oh, we get a little warm weather. I guess we don't really get warm weather late in the season, but you've got this intriguing matchup late in the season. So I think it's time, Shay, that we start to map out some of the best road trips for this Bears team. So we'll go through some of this schedule here, because I think out of the gate, you've got two great ones, all right? You've got at Tampa Bay, at Kansas City. Let me just run through all the road games, all right? You've also got at Washington on a Thursday night.
Ugh.
So call off work if you're going to that one. You're at the Chargers, at the Saints. And then, of course, you've got your divisional road games, Detroit, Minnesota, Green Bay. And you're also at Cleveland, all right? So as we go through this schedule here, what are, like, the three that stick out to you?
Well, Washington, D.C. is a wonderful city, but on a Thursday night, and that stadium.
The stadium's a junkyard.
Cleveland, no disrespect, in December, no thanks.
I saw Carm, our guy Carmen DeFalco, actually broke that one. He was the one that broke the story on the Bears going to Cleveland.
Newsbreaker Carm.
Yep. Value added. That show has more scoops than anyone. Between Yerk and Carm, that's Scoop City.
Yeah, they have the best sources Scoop at the
Central.
Station.
Yeah.
Certainly not the morning show. The morning show is lacking for quality sources lately.
They're playing from a deficit right now.
At Tampa Bay, obviously, the number one thing I'm looking for here is I want to go to a stadium I haven't been to before.
Are you a big football road tripper?
Yeah, I love it. I've seen the Patriots at like six different stadiums,
oh, wow.
I believe.
All right.
I've seen them in Pittsburgh, Baltimore, Buffalo, Detroit, obviously. I've seen them at Green Bay. And I think that might be it. But so five places that are, and New England. So six okay. places I've seen them total. Tampa Bay I haven't been to. Kansas City I haven't been to. I would love to go to either of them. Mm-hmm. Tampa Bay, obviously warm weather in September. And then Kansas City before it gets frigid. Late September, yeah. You go to KC and hit the barbecue spot. Mm-hmm. At New Orleans is great. I love to go to New Orleans. I've never been to the city. But the one that's sneaky the best to me is at LA.
I'm with you. I think that stretch, I can't pick between at LA or at New Orleans right now. I think I lean, and here's why I lean at LA, all right? It's because I am a huge sucker for the standalone game. Huge sucker for the standalone game. I think the product on TV is so good that I rarely want to leave my couch.
Yeah, me too.
In fact, it's to the point where I have turned down tickets to go to football games, both college and pro, because I would rather just watch at home.
Joniak told us he's a sucker for the noon start.
Yeah.
I couldn't disagree more. If you're taking me to a game and it's a noon start, I don't want to go.
Yes.
I want to be at home on my couch with my beer, my comfort, mm-hmm. my red zone.
My remote.
Yes, I need to be watching everything. The noon slate is my time. Mm-hmm. So if I can go on a trip and it's L.A. Sunday Night Football, the exclusive game. And by the way, Sunday Night Football in L.A. is the 5 o'clock kickoff.
That's
so
true.
So you don't have to be up super late. Mm-hmm. You get up. You watch all of the games in the morning and the afternoon. Doesn't interrupt your viewing at all. You head to SoFi.
Now, I have heard getting in and out of SoFi,
getting in and out of anywhere in LA is hell.
Is a zoo.
Like, so maybe you belly up early, hit a bar or tailgate, whatever you got to do. But the point is,
dude, they may not show football in bars in LA.
You could find a spot.
I'm just saying. I'm throwing it out there just to play a little devil's advocate.
Worst case, we're going to get to the parking lot and set our phones up in such a way
yeah.
that we can watch all of the games. Mm-hmm. I just think LA especially and the 5 o'clock kickoff for Sunday night. And the ability then, maybe you even red-eye it back to Chicago Sunday night game.
Then you go to dinner after the game.
Oh, well, that too.
Yeah, that's the beauty of Sunday night football.
That is a beautiful opportunity. I mean, L.A. Sunday night is just the greatest.
I think Chardog did a Sunday night game
in L.A. I think he did. I'm trying to remember which game.
Jake, you've got the pulse on Charlie better than we do.
I know he went to a Chargers game at SoFi last season.
I remember seeing the story he posted on his Instagram.
All right. Well,
if you didn't see it, you weren't there.
I
can't remember what.
So, yeah, I think it was a Sunday night game, too. It may have even been a flex Sunday night game as well. But that's one that I think that. And then my number two, I know everyone's up and excited for this Kansas City game. I think that New Orleans might be number two.
Just the city of New Orleans.
I've never been before, but everyone that goes loves it.
This is one you could make a week out of because the game's November 5th. That means that you're going to have a Halloween on a Tuesday. You could go to New Orleans and make a full week where you have Halloween in New Orleans, and then you hang out, see the city, do what you got to do, whatever you want to do in Louisiana, and then you get the wonderful let's go to the Saints game on Sunday.
Mm-hmm.
That's a great trip.
I'm not going to lie. I think you can prop up almost any one of these road games. You can talk me into almost any single one of them. At Tampa, I mean, who doesn't want to go down to Florida? At Kansas City, that's a great spot, a great environment down there. Even like at Minnesota on a Monday night game, I get that it's late in the season and it's right after Thanksgiving, but you can talk me into wanting to do that because I want to see that stadium. And it's a Monday night game, so it's a standalone. And that stadium, you hear it's the crown jewel. And hey, your new team president is the guy who built that place. So maybe you get a little intel of what the Arlington Heights project looks like.
That's a very good point. It does look like a beautiful place. Everybody I've talked to that's been there says it's unbelievable. Mm-hmm. I would, and I know it's in the division, so it's a little less intriguing. Like right. Green Bay and Detroit, I threw out because I've been to both. Mm-hmm. Minnesota, I haven't been to, so I'm interested because, and I like what they do with the horn. They have somebody go the up skull. And actually blow yeah. the horn mm-hmm. at the start of the game. I like that.
Yeah.
That's cool.
I think, yeah, that's a good one there.
It's just at Minnesota in late November.
It's tough to talk yourself into it weather-wise, but hey, you could also, this is one of those things, you drive up during the day, you barely have to spend time in Minnesota. You have all Monday to drive up, and then you drive back on Tuesday. So, I think that it's one that you certainly can swing yourself into. Paul is in Elmwood Park. What's up, Paul? What's your game that you want to see this year?
I mean, I'm really excited for week one, just because it's the home opener. I don't really have an answer to your guys' question about the away games, but I wanted to kind of make a different point. The reason why I'm really excited for week one is because last year, even though we came away with a win against the 49ers, you really didn't feel all that great going into week two, and that's because that first half of that game was probably one of the worst first halves of any opening season that I could remember the Bears playing. I mean, we looked abysmal, and I know the weather was a factor and everything like that, but we cannot repeat that. And I think that's got to be a focus. Like, this team has to come out. You got to show some kind of fluidity, some kind of, they have to move the ball. They have to, you know, excite fans a little bit. If you come out there and you kind of, like, crap the bed again like you did last year, it's going to be very depressing. And I think that first game is really going to dictate what this team can do in the first quarter of the season. Mm-hmm. So that, I mean, I think that's the game to look forward to.
Yeah. And listen, there's nothing like the opener, too. And one of my favorite things, Paul, and appreciate the phone call there, is going to sporting events in shorts. You can do that on September 10th. You can go to Soldier Field in shorts.
Yeah. So I'm a big fan of when the calendar flips to October and it's a little chill.
Little hoodie that's, season.
That's yeah. the best.
Yeah, I'm a fan of that as well. Nothing like that on a college football Saturday, too. So I'm a fan of that. James is in Munster. What's up, James?
Shay, how you doing, buddy?
I'm good, James. How are you?
Correct.
What are you going to do that for? We were off to a great start, James.
I'm just playing a game. Hey, so we went to the 04 game in Tampa. The great stadium, mm-hmm. real nice. There was a bar that we were going to. It was a Bears trip. Great time. But there was only one problem. When you go up to the bar or when you go up to get beers, you're only allowed to buy two.
Isn't that kind of...
They're 64 ounces a piece.
Oh.
Yeah. And when you go to that one in the early season, yeah, and then my wife bought two and she didn't drink beer. That was a lot of beer that I had to drink with four 64 ounces in the early season game in Tampa. So that's the one downfall. They're only 64 ounces a piece and it's just two.
All right. Well, now we know. Now we know that you can't do. Can you do the 4x4x4 down there? I don't think you can. You may have trouble with that one.
We could do it.
Yeah. 312-332-3776. If you've got a thought on which road game you're most excited for the upcoming season, we will take all of your calls when we close up shop here coming up next. And also some of the other things from around the NFL that caught our eye on this NFL schedule release day. Tyler Aki, Shane Rolling, Bears Weekly Overtime here on ESPN 1000, your new home for the Chicago Bears.
This is ESPN Chicago, Chicago's home for sports. Follow Chicago's home for sports on Instagram at ESPN_Chicago. This is Chicago's home for sports, ESPN Chicago.
Thank you to Jake Cantu and Kevin Zipak for staying up late and producing with us tonight here on ESPN 1000. You missed anything, check it out on the podcast on the ESPN Chicago app or wherever you get your podcasts as we are breaking down this Bears schedule and everything, every which angle of it. We've done a little win-loss, some of the best road trips, the over-unders. You gave your power rankings of all 32 teams. I mean, this is what happens when you let snorling out after dark.
We talk ball.
Yep. A lot of ball here. This show knows ball. And we've got plenty more, too, for you tomorrow on the football front as Bears general manager Ryan Poles will join Bleck and Abdallah at 11:20 a.m. So be sure to be tuned in for that on ESPN 1000, 100.3 HD2, or the ESPN Chicago app. And also, you can find us on YouTube as well as Twitch.
It's a Bears Friday tomorrow. Yeah, on ESPN
1000. It really feels like that. And don't forget, Jeff Joniak will also be in with Waddle and Sylvie tomorrow as well. The voice of the Bears, he'll be with the guys tomorrow until 3:30 on ESPN 1000. We've been talking a little bit about some of the best road trips that you could take for this Bears season. And there's a good number of them that you can take. We've talked about L.A. We've talked about New Orleans. Kansas City is obviously out there. But we want to hear from you as well as we wrap up the show here on ESPN 1000. Tyler Aki and Shay Norling. Sergio's in Elmwood Park. What's up, Sergio?
Hey, what's up, fellas? Doing a great job, man.
Appreciate it.
All right, so, yeah, I'm part of the Roadmap group that does one or two road trips every year.
Love it.
And we've done Kansas City, we've done L.A., we've done New Orleans. So this year we're going to go back to Kansas City as our main trip, and we're also going to do New Orleans. Either of those places, you guys can't go wrong. There's plenty to do, plenty of good, you know, dining and all that good stuff. So you guys can't go wrong.
Perfect. I think those are two of the ones that we are really looking forward to.
Yeah.
So
thanks for the... we did L.A. For week one a couple of years back. And I mean, LA is a great town, plenty to do. So we're looking forward to all the trips.
Perfect. Thanks for the call, Sergio, and safe travels this year.
Appreciate that, guy. Thanks.
That's Sergio in Elmwood Park. Oscar's in Berwyn. What's up, Oscar?
Hey guys, I just wanted to say you guys are doing a great job too.
Thanks, Oscar.
Show. A friend of mine. I know you guys were talking about LA and how they have like restrictions. I don't know if what kind of restrictions, but.
Wait, what do you mean by
bought some tickets?
Restrictions.
I don't know, like territory restrictions on purchasing them. I don't know if they have those.
Oh, like if you're out of state? I think you're good. Like, I just know that the Chargers have very little control of their like actual ticket allotment.
Got you. Okay, that's like I said, my buddy of mine, she just purchased tickets. She went to she got the pre-sale promo code. And she's already booked, and like I couldn't believe it. I'm like, what? Like the people on the radio were saying that there was some kind of restriction, but I must have misunderstood you guys.
All good.
Was there not when they played the 49ers and the Rams played the 49ers in the NFC Championship game? Didn't SoFi try to limit? Like, if you were coming down from San Francisco, they weren't going to let you buy tickets?
I believe the Rams have more of a hold over the tickets there since Stan Kroenke kind of runs the show. Thanks for the call, Oscar. Appreciate it. Yeah, since Stan Kroenke's sort of in control there.
It didn't matter anyway because 49ers fans filled that place up.
Yep. That's, again, secondary market. You can't control the secondary market.
That's why it's so attractive to me as the top road trip option. You get the exclusive Sunday night game. You get to go to a place where you're probably going to be hanging out with similar fans.
You know what I love?
It's not going to be hostile.
I love being in enemy territory, though. Love it. It's great.
Depends. But yeah, usually I enjoy it.
A few times. It's great. All right.
I've done it a bunch. Great. It is great.
Before we get out of here, I do want to note a couple of the big sort of national storylines that we got from the schedule released today. So we obviously the international schedule came out. The Thanksgiving schedule for this year, Packers at Lions, Commanders at Cowboys, Niners at Seahawks, and then the Christmas Day slate was rounded out today. Along with Giants and Eagles, you'll also get Raiders at Chiefs and Ravens at 49ers as well. But what kind of stuck out to you on the national scope here?
The Black Friday game, I hate. Loathe it. I think it's terrible. I want my Black Friday left alone. I don't need that. But Ravens-Niners, that's a tremendous nightcap on Christmas Day.
Big
that's
fan of that.
Like fantastic. Mm-hmm. And the Christmas games, I could take or leave. I don't I know I'm going to be doing other things anyways. Mm-hmm. I'll have like a noise. Passive eye.
I don't like having good games on Christmas. Like, give me your junk, though.
That's a fantastic game that they scheduled.
I know. Bills, but night's all right.
What do you think about New Year's Eve? Like, Bills-Chiefs, or Bengals-Chiefs New Year's Eve. I feel like those games should have been on Saturday.
Yeah.
New I'm Year's Eve there. Weekend. Let's move the slate to Saturday. Let me have my New Year's Eve.
Now, New Year's Day?
Count me New in. Year's Day. Yeah, I'm
you
all
gave
good.
Me New Year's Day. Count me in. And then the last one that I think really struck a chord with people, Lions at Chiefs is your opener. I don't get it. I'm out.
I'm good with it. And I'm somebody who thinks the Lions that are going to be good. I think the NFL is telling you they think the Lions are going to be good. I think it's cool. I think it's good for that team. I think it's, look, you're going to put a team on the stage and ask them to prove it. I like it.
All right. Thanks for listening. Hoodie and Jesse get you going tomorrow morning, 7 a.m. here on ESPN 1000.
ESPN Chicago on FM 100.3 HD2, the ESPN Chicago app, and ESPN 1000.